This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
It is Friday night. It is time for the biggest and the best guest right here at SB Nation Radio. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, guiding you through the next 2 hours on the Big E Sports Show. Always live on Twitter. Join us right now at eRadio Sports. You can go back and listen to all of our interviews tonight at podcastarena.com. And I'm telling you what, we have got you covered. NBA season, it is back. Check in the box. We got Mitch Lawrence in Hour 1. PGA News and Notes, Larry Miller is going to be joining us. We've got 3 book reviews. We're going to talk some college football and also providing the helping hand tonight is Robert Harris Jr. Follow him on Twitter at Robo Harris Jr., Mr. Multimedia Journalist and one of the rising stars right here at SB Nation. Good evening, Bobby.
Oh, good evening. Good evening.
It is great to have you back in the saddle. So talk to me about my Dallas Cowboys. Okay, so 4 straight wins against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. What does that win against the Eagles do for the Cowboys? Does it put them back in the Super Bowl contention?
Well, I mean, that and also a great playoff contention as well, because this is a ball club who was losing 3 straight games before this victory against the Eagles. So I think it put them in good graces, and also the talk about Dak getting a contract extension is still on the table. And I think it's still on the table after this season anyway.
You know, there was a lot of optimism, and I remember we had even talked about this. Coming into the season with the Cowboys, expectations seemed to be sky high. Were you surprised to see them go through this lull and lose those games?
Well, yeah, because you've seen the new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, implement his own offense, and it was very, very great the first 4 straight games. So you've seen that going to a new level in his quarterback career.
So what did you learn watching this game? I mean, what was different against the Eagles? Did the Cowboys win or did the Eagles lose?
I say the Eagles lose. Well, I'm going to say the Cowboys win, because the defense from the Cowboys has always been spectacular. It was just the offense just took a step back. And then you've seen this past Sunday against the Eagles, that offense was back to normal.
Well, good news for the Cowboys, because they've got a bye. They can exhale just a little bit, Bobby. And you know, at this time of the year, man, you're banged up and you need your guys to get some rest. As they're in this bye week, what do you think they're just going to focus on? I mean, it's rest. It's what?
Yeah, I think it's just rest and get back to what we do the best this following week.
Well, what we do the best is we provide the biggest and the very best guests, and we've got an incredible lineup tonight. You don't want to miss our next interview, because coming up will be James Hale, Total Sports and host of KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. Going to get you ready for Oklahoma, K-State after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us. You can join us at eRadio Sports at Twitter, always live there. Info, eRadioSports.com and podcast. Arena.com. It is week 9 of the college football season, and we are so delighted to have back with us from Total Sports, KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. Also, check him out, Patreon. Lots of amazing videos. It's a great way to wake up every morning, because Die Hard Sooner Reports, James Hale, always gives me the latest on the Sooners. Good evening, Jay.
Good evening, A. It's a cold day, and I just wish you were here snuggling, making that hot chocolate and doing those things. Your husband might get mad, but tell him, I'm getting older. I need some warmth in the house. So, I like cold weather. You know what that signifies? We're getting close to the end of the college football season, where all the pressure games are coming up, you know, through the month of November. College basketball is getting underway, and the NBA is underway, and there's a lot of different things. So I don't mind the cold weather rolling in.
It is a really special time of year. We're down here in Houston, James, and so like October, November, December, it's like
so
our favorite time.
It's cold around you guys, right?
Yeah, so it's golf season 24/7 down here. So it's all,
absolutely, absolutely. And you guys, Stephen and your youngest Tiger, man, you guys are always out there on the links. It's always cool.
We love it. Okay, so let's talk some Big 12 football. We've got a preview, Oklahoma, Kansas State, an 11 o'clock kickoff. And I know you're going to be in Manhattan. Of course, the Sooners, they're 7-0, fifth ranked in the country, and K-State 4-2. The Wildcats are, you know, James, they're going to be looking to pull off an upset at home. What do you think that we need to know about this matchup?
Yeah, you know, this line has gone up. It's been weird. It started out at 19. Now it's at 23.5. So what does that tell you, right? I think that a lot of people are betting Oklahoma in this game, and I thought they would come back and bet Kansas State just because we seem to respect the Kansas State program so much. 2 years ago, Kansas State led 21-10 at the half. Lincoln Riley said he's never been as mad as he was that day in the locker room at halftime. He said he was yelling and screaming. He was just so mad that he started to see stars, and he thought he needed to calm down a little bit because, you know, he was just getting way too mad.
Bless his heart. Okay.
I've never been as mad since. I maybe control myself a little bit better. But that was the day that, you know, the Sooners stormed back. Rodney Anderson became a household name in college football, and, you know, he really turned it on, and he won the game for him in the second half. So then 2 years ago or 4 years ago, that was the airport game. Remember, they got stuck in the airport for 8 hours.
Yes.
Go hit all the fast food joints around the Oklahoma City airport. That's how they were feeding the guys. They didn't get to Manhattan until about 1:30. Then they got up and they went and put a 55-0 spanking on Kansas State. Bill Snyder said it was the worst game his Kansas State team's ever played. So this series is weird. It's hard to really predict what's going to happen. Normally, Kansas State plays pretty well, and you know, and they give the Sooners all they can handle. But you know, Oklahoma's offense is so good. They're averaging 8.5 yards a rush. They're leading the country in play. They're the number one offense in the country. Now they're a top 30 defense in the country.
Wow.
Oh, man. What have we said over the last couple of years? If the Sooners just played some great defense, man, they would win the national title. Well, they are beginning to play some pretty good defense, and they're not settling. They're not resting on their laurels. They're trying to get better and better. So I kind of like this spread, even though I think Kansas State's pretty good. They're 4-2. I love what Coach Kleiman's doing. Taking over for a legend is never easy, and replacing Bill Snyder is not easy. You know, I understand Coach Snyder's still around the program a little bit, so we'll see. But it's going to be an interesting game. I'm going to, you know, do you pick Oklahoma to cover? I don't know. It's 23.5, but I think OU should win. OU's such a businesslike team, E. It's they just don't get too excited about what they're doing that's positive. And they don't get too down either. It's a professional college football team that Oklahoma has right now. And I think Jalen Hurts has a lot to do with that.
He is the host of Total Sports KREF in Norman, Oklahoma, 10-2, James Hale. Give him a follow on Patreon. And, you know, James, as you're talking about, the Sooners are rolling. They are the best in the Big 12 Conference. And, yes, offensively, they've got incredible production. But one of the reasons why that they are having so much success is defensively. Talk to us about Alex Grinch. And I know it's one of your latest posts on Patreon. I mean, Oklahoma's got a defense to match its offense.
Yeah, and it has so far. It really has. You know, Alex Grinch has brought a scheme that really works for Oklahoma. I think that it's freed Kenneth Murray to be the player that he can be. I think Kenneth, who's never played Mike backer before he got moved to that position, his in training camp of his freshman year. Now think about that. He's never played Mike. He's never played inside. Then they tell him 2 weeks before the season starts, we're moving you to the Mike backer. You're going to make all the calls, and you're going to have to be the man. So while a lot of people have been disappointed in his play, I always thought it's been pretty exceptional. He's been learning on the fly. Then they bring this defense in, and Alex Grinch simplifies things for guys like him, for guys like Neville Gallimore, for guys like Ronnie Perkins. Those guys can all play some football. They're all NFL talents, and now that they have a simpler way of doing things, they're excelling. I think Kenneth Murray is the best linebacker in the Big 12. He might be the best linebacker in the country. He's got a chance to win the Butkus. Gallimore is working his way up to a top 2 or 3 round draft. Perkins is only a sophomore, but, you know, when he comes out, he's going to be highly thought of. Kenneth Mann is back now on that defensive line. Marquise Overton is playing his way into the draft. He's always been a solid player, but he's been hurt all the time. Had an appendectomy 1 year. I mean, he just can't catch a break. Mm-hmm. And but he's healthy now. He slimmed down from 330. Don't I wish I could do this? He slimmed down to 330, uh-huh. Down to 300 pounds. Uh-huh. And I'm sitting there saying, I can't lose 5 pounds. Come on, man. It's really good, you know, what they're doing back there. And here's what they're doing in the secondary. They're not getting burned. They're not giving up big plays. When they do give up catches, they're making tackles. They're not giving up yak yardage. And that's secondary. And, of course, it's benefiting from the fact that this team's averaging 6 or 7 tackles for losses per game. They've been as high as 13 and 14 in one game. They had 10 last week. The only thing they're not doing is turning the ball over, and that's driving Grinch nuts. He talks about it all the time. He talks about it to his team all the time. It's kind of interesting because I'm going, you guys haven't played this kind of defense in about 3 or 4 years or 5 years, and yet he's not satisfied because they're not turning the ball over. So look for the OU defense to go for some turnovers, and hopefully they'll keep tackling in the process.
Mm-hmm. We're getting ready for Big 12 football. Oklahoma, Kansas State, visiting with James Hale from KREF in Norman, Oklahoma, host of Total Sports. James, our time is winding down, but I know you spoke with Lincoln Riley earlier this week. What did he share about Alex Grinch and just, you know, defensively how much they've improved? And as you were talking about, the concepts, the schemes.
Well, when he hired Alex Grinch, he loved the scheme. And he loved the how they attack at the line of scrimmage and some of the things. But he had to be sold on what did Alex Grinch think about building a culture, changing an attitude. And when Lincoln heard the right words, when he heard the right thoughts, then he knew he had his guy. He thinks Alex is a head coach in the making. He thinks he's great at what he does. He's allowed his coaches to coach. They all coach within this scheme, and they coach very, very well. He likes what they're doing. He knows how to motivate young men, which is another thing. And you can tell these guys on defense are thinking. It's a new voice, and they're hearing the voice, so they're just playing better. And I don't think there's any doubt. Lincoln thinks he's hit a home run with Alex Grinch, and he thinks with this group they've got a great chance to make a long run in college football this year.
October is quickly wrapping up. Give us a quick hit on Jalen Hurts. I mean, the accolades just keep rolling in. Named Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week after his performance on Saturday against West Virginia.
Well, he's an interesting guy. He's a stoic guy that's dedicated. He's totally focused. But, man, he's a great football player. He was great as a freshman. He gets beat out. You know, he kind of gets out, you know, goes by the wayside. Well, he's back, and he's back with a vengeance. Maybe just the best player and the best quarterback in college football this year. He is a great football player.
On the Heisman competition, always fierce, and Jalen Hurts is right at the top. Always a true pleasure to have with us host of Total Sports, 10 to 2. You can find him on the dial, KREF, in Norman, Oklahoma. And, James, connect with our audience. Where can they subscribe to your video posts?
You know, it's Patreon, it's Die Hard Sooner Report. It's only $5 a month. I'm telling you, you're going to get great information. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. You'll enjoy it. Die Hard Sooner Report on Patreon.
Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1. Mitch Lawrence, we are going to talk some NBA news and notes here in just a moment.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the next generation of sports radio. Many different ways to connect. You can join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports Info, eRadioSports.com, and podcast arena.com, of course, being powered by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. And as promised, it is time for some NBA news and notes. Brand new season is finally underway, and here to get you ready is Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio. It has been way too long. We have missed you, Mitch.
Well, I've missed you too. How are you?
Hey,
thanks for having me on.
I'm great. This is my favorite time of the year. Ready to talk some hoops. So
let's
start off with the Mavericks. They win their season opener on Wednesday night, and so impressed with Luka. He certainly had an impressive outing and dominated the Wizards with 34 points and 9 rebounds. Give us your impressions and takeaways from that win over the Wizards.
Well, I'll tell you what. Mavericks have a great player, a guy you can really build around, a guy who's going to take him places with Luka Doncic. I mean, we saw the beginning of that last year, his rookie season, when just from the start to finish, he looked like he was just ready to come in and play NBA basketball. And, you know, you wondered this year about Kristaps Porzingis, because here in New York, we had seen a lot of Kristaps. He got hurt, obviously, and a great debut for him, too. Big steps forward for him, coming off that ACL tear. They knocked him out for a year. Everything, if you're a Mavs fan, everything is looking up now. This is a great start for them. I know people already, you know, in camp and everything, we're asking Rick Carlisle to compare him to, you know, Nowitzki and Nash. Hey, mm-hmm. let's not go that far. But they have the makings of a real top two. You know, now, as you've seen in the NBA, everybody's pairing up. You got two stars playing together. I know LeBron would like to have a third. He wish he had Kawhi. But, you know, this looks like it's a great thing for the Mavericks going forward, as long as they can stay healthy. So they get some more supporting players for that, more quality guys. I think Maverick fans are going to be enjoying the next few years.
Well, the Mavericks, their game is underway tonight with the Pelicans. They are on the road in New Orleans. You bring up Kristaps. You know, how different does he look than what we saw in New York? I mean, as you said, he got off to a little bit of a slow start the other night on Wednesday. He had 23 points, and 9 of those points came from three-point range.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, physically looks better, looks bigger. I mean, the whole key for him, you know, we saw flashes in New York when he was here. And there are, let me tell you, there are a lot of Knicks fans that wish they didn't make that trade. They committed to him for the future.
Yes.
But, you know, they did clear the cap space. Now, the cap space was supposed to go to Kevin Durant, guys like that, and Kyrie Irving. That didn't work out. The Knicks thought it was going to work out that way, but it didn't. But, no, he looks pretty good. And, you know, the big key is, not to harp on it, but the big key, like, for all these players is, you know, your best ability is your availability. And for Kristaps, that got to be a problem in New York. Couldn't stay on the court, couldn't stay healthy. That's what he needs to improve upon. And, you know, if he can do that with Doncic, that gives him a real great 1-2 for the future.
Well, health was certainly an issue, but Mitch, I mean, it seemed like he didn't want to be a part of a rebuild with New York and with the Knicks.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, you know, I think it was not just that. It was, you know, when you're in New York and you're working, you're in that organization, how much, I don't think he trusted Steve Mills, Scott Perry to do the building around him that he thought was necessary. And, you know, I think he saw a team like Dallas with Rick Carlisle and Don Nelson and Mark Cuban as the way to go. And I think that's what players look at. They look at who's owning the team, their commitment to winning. They look at the front office. What have you accomplished in your past? They look at the coach. And the Mavericks have a lot going for them compared to the Knicks. A lot of teams have a lot going for them because the Knicks guys who are in charge, I'm talking about, you know, from James Dolan through the front office of Steve Mills and Scott Perry and Dave Fizdale. There's not a lot of winning there on those resumes. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of losing. So I think what Kristaps Porzingis saw was, I got to get to a place where I've got a better chance of winning, and I think he saw Dallas over New York in that.
Host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence with us tonight right here at SB Nation. So as we talk about the Mavericks, what's your overall expectations for this season? I mean, you sound pretty optimistic. I can't see your face through the phone line, but I think you're smiling.
Well, I am, but actually, I'll tell you what. I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, and that's only because I still think they have to have an upgrade of their talent or the supporting cast. Like everything, a lot about that team in terms of, you know, Rick Carlisle as a coach and your top two players. But the West is so tough. I have the Mavericks on the rise. I have them competing in the running for maybe eighth place. You know, could I see a situation where, you know, you go back to last year, Lisa, Sacramento through about game 75, 76, up until the last couple of weeks, they were right in the thick of it for eighth place in the West, and they didn't make it. And I can see Dallas having a type of year like that because they've got guys like, obviously, Doncic, Porzingis, Rick Carlisle does a tremendous job. I just worry about the supporting cast. I think, you know, you have some players there. I think we need some improvement. I think you'll see that in the future. We'll see more player development. But I think the Mavericks will have that type of year which will kind of whet the appetites of the fans down there in terms of the future and getting back to the playoffs.
Well, they made a lot of great moves in the offseason. You know, you're talking about the 1-2 punch with Kristaps and Luka, but Seth Curry, I mean, he can really open some things up with his outside shooting. Do you like the addition of Seth?
I do. I like that. That's important because you have to have players like that. They need to add more players, more pieces, more quality pieces, and I think they'll be onto something there. But, yes, Seth Curry, obviously, we know he comes from great stock. We know his brother. Seth last year in the playoffs, that's a big game. So, yeah, I think that's a good move. That's a positive thing. But, you know, in total, when you look at the Mavericks and where they are headed and what they're facing in the Western Conference, I think you just need to upgrade other parts of the roster to keep that thing going where the needle is pointing north, because just look at the competition. Teams out West are loaded with great starting fives, and the Mavericks are still, you know, they're still working on that.
Okay, so we highlight the Mavericks. Let's talk about the Rockets. What did they show you in the preseason?
Well, this is a very interesting season for the Rockets. Obviously, we're keeping it to basketball stuff and not the Daryl Morey news,
okay,
right?
Right.
So the basketball stuff. This is a key year for Mike D'Antoni. He did not get that extension he wants. They don't want to give him an extension. I had gotten the feeling over time that maybe they don't want Mike to be their coach, although they say differently. We'll see about that. He is definitely, if you look around the league, listen, you look at the coaches who are on the hot seat, right off the bat, you look at a guy like a Frank Vogel, because he's coaching with LeBron James in Los Angeles. You're looking at Brett Brown in Philadelphia, who, you know what, he'll have to get to the conference finals in the East probably to keep his job. But it all starts with Mike D'Antoni in Houston. He's got two big-time stars. He's got to make it work with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. This is a key year for Houston. The best thing that ever happened to the Rockets was that the Warriors finally broke up. Kevin Durant came over here to the Eastern Conference in Brooklyn. That obviously was the big stumbling block for Houston over the last, what, 4 or 5 years, getting past Golden State. So the road might be a little bit easier for them, but they still have to prove to me, guys like Westbrook and Harden, that they can take their game to a next level in the playoffs and play some winning basketball. So we'll see, but it's going to be a big year for Houston.
Well, it's going to be intriguing to watch when we talk about Harden and Westbrook and how they will mesh. I have to wonder, Mitch, how much of these players, each of them, talking about Harden and Westbrook, how much have they evolved since they were teammates with the Thunder and under Scotty Brooks' system?
Lots. I mean, they've both gone on to be MVPs of the league.
Yep.
So with that comes not just more money, it also comes more ego. It becomes, you know, that could be a problem there. I mean, we'll see. They both say they will get along and play well off each other and play together. And, you know, work for a year with Chris Paul and Russ and James Harden. And we'll see if it works. You know, it's got to work better than that, because obviously there was a big falling out between Harden and Chris Paul at the end there before Chris Paul got traded, basically banished to Oklahoma City. I think James Harden had a lot to do with that. So, they're under the gun. You know, all these guys who have aligned together and players are exerting their power, you know, more and more. It's great for them because they don't have to suffer the repercussions if it doesn't work. Neither of those guys is going to get fired, Harden or Westbrook, if it doesn't work. Same thing goes with Kawhi and Paul George in Clipperland. Same thing goes with LeBron and AD. They're all teaming up together and they're exerting that power that players have today, the unprecedented power, and that's fine. But they're still dependent. You know, they've got to get to the promised land, and they got to win, and they got to win big, especially in Houston. So we'll see how they coexist together. It's going to be fascinating. I think it's got a great chance to work really well in the regular season. It's the postseason I just wonder about, because Harden tends to not play, not as big of an impact in the postseason, and the same goes for Westbrook. So we'll see how that works out.
What is your belief? You think the Rockets can win an NBA title?
I don't think the Rockets are going to win an NBA title. I've picked for the first time in my life covering the league since about 1984 and 1986 on a regular basis, I'm picking the Clippers. I never picked the Clippers
to
win the Pacific Division, I don't think. So I'm picking the Clippers, and it's basically because they've got the pieces, plus they've got the big-time MVP of the finals in Kawhi Leonard, and they've got a great number two in Paul George. They got a championship coach in Doc Rivers. They've got a front office that can get the job done with Lawrence Frank and Jerry West. So I'm actually picking the Clippers. I'm picking Houston to be a top 4 or 5 team in the regular season. I don't know. You know, it all depend on the matchups in the postseason, but I tend to favor a team like the Clippers over Houston. I think Denver's got a better chance to go deeper in the playoffs than Houston. The Lakers, depending on how LeBron approaches the season, and Anthony Davis, who's much more better suited to be a number two option than a number one option. He should have a terrific year riding LeBron's coattails. I think they'll probably be better in the long run than the playoffs, but we'll see. I mean, Houston could easily prove me wrong. They got a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. They've got guys who've got a lot of hunger. They know that they're under pressure to win and succeed. So, you know, there's always a chance they could do that. But right now, my favorite's the Clippers.
Good stuff. Good insight. Give them a follow on Twitter at Mitch_Lawrence. Host on SiriusXM NBA Radio. True pleasure to have you with us tonight. Thank you so much, Mitch. Have a great weekend.
Hey, stay in touch. Thanks, Alyssa.
You bet. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, presented to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Did you know that one out of four batteries will fail this winter? Get yours tested for free during Superstar Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly's has the Superstar battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, indeed, it is time to hit them long and hit them straight. We're going to go inside the ropes, talk some PGA news and notes, and visit with our weekly guest, and that is former PGA Tour player and author of four books on golf and performance. Check him out, LarryMillerGolf.com. You can hear him in the background. He's always spending time on the range. Larry, good evening. Nice to have you back with us.
Hey, good evening. Yeah, great to be back again this week. And please forgive my voice. I'm getting over one of those horrible colds. And,
bless you.
And, but maybe it's an improvement. Maybe I'm a bit more resonant than I was.
Well, you know, where did you pick that up at? Torrey Pines? I mean, how did that happen?
Probably in that crowded airport. It was elbow to elbow and, you know, just crazy in that airport. I mean, it hit me a couple of days later, so I think that's probably where I picked it up. But I did play Torrey Pines. I didn't get sick till the day after, and it was a wonderful round of golf.
I bet. Well, we're glad you're on the road to recovery, and we're anxious to get your perspective on a number of different topics tonight. And, you know, the countdown's on for the President's Cup, and I tell you what, Larry, coming into question is health. I mean, it could impact the U.S. Team as far as when we think about Brooks Koepka. He slipped on some wet concrete. He re-injured his knee at the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges and withdrew after re-aggravating his knees. So that certainly would be a huge loss for the U.S. Team if he's unable to go. Tiger certainly has a lot of things on his mind. I mean, it certainly didn't seem like it at that Zozo tournament day one. I mean, what a remarkable start for him. But what do you think is going through his mind in regards to his selections and picks for the President's Cup?
Well, you know, if Koepka cannot go, if he can't play, you know, in one sense, it's a big hit for the team because he's the world's number one player and he steps up in the big events. But on the other hand, Koepka has been trending down a little bit his last few tournaments. He hasn't played that well. And with the President's Cup, you know, you want to try to catch a player when he's really on a roll and ascending. And somebody like the way Jordan Spieth is coming back this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you want to catch the hot players at that time, not on their past history. So in one sense, it's a big hit and a loss, but it's going to make that much of a difference. Listen, all these guys are really good, and anybody that Tiger picks is going to be an elite player. And you know, it's not going to be a drop off really, if at all. And minimal if it is. So I'm not worried about that. But yeah, I'm not sure would rather have him on the team, just being world number one. That aura and that, you know, that reputation is worth a shot or two on the first tee, for sure.
Well, if Koepka can't play in the President's Cup, that means Tiger would get a fifth captain's pick and increase the chances that he might pick himself. But why not? After what, going 6 under par day one at the Zozo Championship along with Gary Woodland?
Yeah, shooting 64 and looking like
incredible.
The Tiger of old, the way he was walking and his whole persona, he looked really great, really fit and healthy. And as I said last week, and even before this, I would pick him for sure anyway, because based on his historical match play record, his leadership role, you know, and the way the players get inspired by him and look up to him, and also the fact that he has also won, you know, twice in the last 7 or 8 months, the Tour Championship and the Masters. So it's not like he, you know, is over the hill yet. I mean, that's definitely not the case. Showed that with that 64 opening round in Japan.
What impressed you the most about that opening round with Tiger?
He bogeyed the first three holes.
He did.
His three over after three, and then played 9 under the last 15 holes. And a lot of that was due to the putter. He was draining everything. He was making everything. And he even said in the interview, you know, the ball was rolling tight and he was making left to righters and right to lefters and it didn't matter. He was just rolling it so good and had so much confidence. So it was the putter. You know, anytime you see a score below 65 or 6, you know that the putter was red hot, whoever it was.
Hey, we're so glad you're with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Hour one with our familiar guest, Larry Miller, inside the ropes, talking President's Cup. But, you know, it's interesting as we digress for just a moment, talking about Tiger and, you know, how he got off to a slow start. What goes through your mind as a competitor when you're trying to get into rhythm and you're trying to get that round straightened out?
Well, you have to be patient. You can't get it all back at once. You know, the impulse is to, you know, you get a couple of three over par early, and, you know, you want to smash that next tee shot and get way down there and make birdie, but you can't get that. You can't do that. You have to stay patient, hit fairways and greens, let the birdies happen. I think it was Steve Stricker one time. I thought it was a great comment. He says, you have to make pars and let the birdies happen.
Yes.
You can't go forcing it, because that's when you make mistakes. You get two or three over and you start forcing it, and next thing you know, you're going to turn that round into a 77 or 8, really bad round. So you have to stay patient, and that's what Tiger did. He stayed patient, started making a few putts, and next thing you know, he's on a roll and he's turned the whole table around. So the key to it is staying patient and not panicking and thinking that you have to get it all back at once. You know, it's like a football team that gets a couple of touchdowns behind and starts throwing bombs, you know, trying to catch up. You don't see the good teams doing that. They start dinking it down the field and chipping away at it bit by bit. And that's what you have to do in golf, too, is make those pars, steady pars, and let the birdies happen.
You're listening to The Voice, Larry Miller, former PGA pro, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And speaking of patience, Tiger Woods, he's going to have to be patient in regards to the health of his team when we talk about the President's Cup. Dustin Johnson, I wanted you to weigh in on this. I mean, he's recovering also from knee surgery. What's your level of concern, just overall, of the health of this team?
Now, the word is that he's going to be okay, but then what you're concerned about is the rust factor. You know, how rusty is a player going to be being laid up for a little while? And that's a big thing, because in golf, just like every other sport, momentum is really key, and you have to have positive momentum going into a big event. So that is a concern. The health is a concern. But as I said before, next man up, our PGA Tour is so strong and so deep that the next man up is pretty darn good. And so I think that's a positive spin on it. But yeah, it's a concern to have two of your top players perhaps being a little rusty and not in top form and maybe not playing at all. So we'll see what happens, but I'm not worried about it. We're very deep in talent.
Well, Larry, I want to rewind with you for just a moment and reflect on last week's win for Justin Thomas. He claimed his 11th career victory on the PGA Tour with rounds of 68, 63, 70, 67 to finish 20 under par at Nine Bridges. I tell you what, Justin Thomas, he's not an imposing guy, right? But he is special, and he finds a way to make it happen. And just, you know, when I read off those scores, just those consistent rounds of golf, how does he do it?
Justin Thomas is one of the four players, I think, that when things are clicking, you're not going to beat him. You know, Rory is one of them, McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Koepka, and Dustin Johnson. Any of those four guys, when all facets of their game are on and clicking, you're just not going to beat them because they're going to shoot low rounds. Their bad rounds are going to be 67 or 8. That's their bad round when they're clicking. And Justin Thomas is one of those guys. And, yeah, he is not imposing. He's a small guy in stature compared to most of the players, but he's one of the longest hitters. He's got that very upright swing, high hands with a lot of leverage, and, you know, flexible. He's very flexible and has a big turn back and through. And so he generates a lot of club head speed and hits it as long as the other guys do, even though he's not as big. But he's one of the four, I think, that when they're on, they're going to win. And it shows time and time again. It happens with Rory. It happens with Koepka and Dustin, and now in Justin Thomas, too.
Well, there's a lot to respect about Justin Thomas's just his approach to the game. And here he wins for a second time at the CJ Cup. But I, you know, one of the things I want to talk with you about tonight is that he is regarded as one of the top closers in the game. And, you know, Larry, what's the secret to finishing strong in a round? How do you close out and guard against a letdown?
Well, it's maintaining your focus and not letting it slip away. And that's part of being a great competitor. Great competitors, they're like bulldogs. They're just not going to let go. And you get them near the lead, and watch out, because they go into hyper focus when they get near the lead. It even increases. You know, a lot of players who don't have the same emotional makeup, they get in that situation, they go the other way, and they start you know, thinking about the fruits of winning, or the victory speech, you know, or what's going to happen, or even worse, negative thoughts. What if I blow this? Well, all those things that I just stated are all distractions, and it takes away from the focus. But the elite players, the great closers like Tiger and like Justin Thomas and all those guys that are at the top of the world ranking, they go into hyper-focus when they get near the lead, and they get even better at concentrating. That's the secret. And you can work on that. You can work on maintaining your focus. And the way I do it, the way I teach kids to do it, is I tell them to make every hole a tournament in itself, and every single hole. You get on every tee box and say, okay, this is the first hole of a one-hole tournament, and you try to win that tournament. And by doing that, it keeps you in the present and keeps your focus on what you're doing at that moment.
Well, someone I want to focus in on tonight is Jordan Spieth. I mean, he started his season strong. He tied for eighth. He wasn't in contention at the CJ Cup, but he got off to a better start this year than last year. So what do you see from his game right now? It seems like, you know, his ball striking, he's still working on that. Your biggest takeaway?
Yeah. It's still a work in progress, but it's getting better, and that's a good sign. That's kind of what I expected. A young guy, that talented. He knows he's a great putter. He doesn't have to worry about that. He's confident with that, so he can devote most of his time to his swing and the ball striking. And apparently, judging by that what he did last week, I think that he is definitely on an upward turn, upward spiral with his game. And I kind of thought that might happen, and we'll see going forward. I think he's going to have a good year. That's my prediction. I think Jordan's going to have a very good year, and I think his ball striking is going to get better and better because he can spend all of his time concentrating on that.
Is it all about ball striking? I mean, I just have to wonder, Larry, what will it take for him to return to a dominant level of play? I mean, he's got the magic with the putter.
Yeah, he's got to drive it in the fairway. And the same thing with Tiger, too. When Tiger drives it in the fairway, or Jordan drives it in the fairway all day, you know, hits 10, 11, 12 fairways out of 14, when they do that, they're going to shoot low numbers because they're such great putters and have good short games, great short games. So the key is the driver. I was asked one time the most important club in the bag, and everybody, we had about 20 pros ask that question, and my answer was the driver. Now, most people are going to say the putter, but I say it's the driver. Mm-hmm. If you put yourself in position off the tee all day long, it does something to your confidence, and it makes you putt better. And when I drive the ball really well, I putt well. And so I think driving the ball in the fairway is a key. And look at Tiger Woods. When he hits it in the fairway, he wins. And so does Rory, and so does Koepka, and so does Dustin Johnson, and so does Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth. But the problem with Spieth is he's been hitting 3 and 4 fairways out of 14, and there's no way you're going to have 21 putts or 22 putts every round.
Our PGA News and Notes will continue with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin and go inside the ropes with Larry Miller. Hey, we're wrapping up our time with Larry Miller, inside the ropes, former PGA Tour pro and author of 4 books on golf and performance, LarryMillerGolf.com. And, you know, earlier in our interview, we were talking about just what a remarkable start it was for Tiger this week. So much to be excited about as far as his game and, you know, leading off with that 64. And it's been a historic week for the PGA Tour. What Japan, they are long, you know, big time fans of the game, but this is the first time that an official tour event has been held in the country. And for the season debut of Tiger Woods, I mean, how cool is that? And, you know, what do you think about golf in Japan? It just seems like they're very supportive of the sport and of the tour.
Oh yeah, they're wild about golf. They come over here in droves to play Pebble Beach and the other great courses. I mean, I was behind a group one time of Japanese, a foursome, and each one had cameras hanging from their necks while they were swinging the club and hitting the ball. They were taking pictures of the tee markers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, They took pictures of the team markers, the home markers, everything. And how'd you like to be in that family room watching those slideshows?
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Hey, Larry Miller has been with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. You can check out our interview at podcastarena.com. Hey, Larry, before we close out, let's pause, connect with our audience. And what are they going to find when they go to your website?
They're going to find an opportunity to get video instruction online from me personally. They will send me videos of their swing. I'll tell them how to do it and how to take it. And I'll analyze it, diagnose it, find out the problems, tell you how to fix it. We'll get on the telephone and have telephone consultations and talk about your game and your swing. And I'll get you I'll get all those flaws straightened out for you and start lowering your score. So LarryMillerGolf.com, you can check it out.
Okay, as we close out our interview, can you give us a tip? I mean, you can feel it. I mean, the temperatures are changing. What's a golf tip for everyone that's tuning in tonight?
Yeah, change your ball for sure. If you play a hard ball like a Pro V1X, change to the Pro V1. Go down to the softer ball in the wintertime because the hard balls do not compress as much, and you're going to lose 10, 15 yards if you play a ball that's too hard in the winter. So that's a great tip. Go to a lower compression golf ball, and you'll get some extra yardage.
He is simply the best. Check him out. LarryMillerGolf.com joins us each and every week right here at SB Nation Radio, Inside the Ropes. Larry, you and Connie have a wonderful weekend, and we will talk next week. Thank you so much, my friend.
Great. Talk to y'all next week. Everybody have fun. Bye-bye.
Hope you feel better. Much more coming your way. Hour 2 up next at SB Nation Radio.